Well, today is, we get to break bread together today. So I think we'll do things in a little different order perhaps today. But let's pray together, okay? I think it's such a privilege for us to gather together in His name. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, today is the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. But we don't set every day aside like we do this day, where we come together. And there's something special when God's people come together. It's something He has devised. It's something that He has told us to do, to come together. And somehow it's a greater expression of His love and His person as we come together. Again, as we read through the scriptures, you know, it tells us that each of us adds something. You know, each member gives something to the next member. In other words, if I'm home alone, I'm not getting something that I would receive from being together, though it's kind of mystic and mysterious. There's something that happens there, and I'm not passing something on to someone. So someone's missing out because I'm not here. And there's something where God loves and He delights to be with His people when they come together in community together. And that's why it's, that's why divisions are such a travesty, because it grieves the Spirit of God, who just wants to move freely amongst all of us. He loves us all. God doesn't have any favorites this morning. There's no one that God is, you know, favorites to. He loves us all equally, and we all have the equal invitation to open our lives up to Him and respond to Him and partake of Him and fellowship with Him and with one another. And again, this morning, it's a privilege to be together and just seek the Lord together. I hope you feel that way as well, you know, that we're here for Him. You know, sometimes we come out of duty, we think, and we come for different reasons, but we really, our gathering is unto Him. This is the Lord's day, and we've come to worship Him together and to honor Him together. So let's pray, and then we're going to look into the scriptures a bit. Father, we thank You again for just that, Lord, for gathering us together. And Lord, our gathering is unto You. Lord, it's a privilege to gather ourselves together. Lord, I ask that Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, would just continue. Lord, would You come and just move amongst us? Holy Spirit, would You come and just have Your way amongst us? Oh God, would You be to us more than a phrase, more than a title? Would You be to us, Lord, more than what we've ever known before this morning? Lord, would You reveal Yourself to our hearts? Lord, pushing out other things, Lord, that might take Your place. Lord, You cast out sin. Lord, You cast out the self in us. Lord, You cast out all these things when You come. Lord, would You come and just speak to each of our hearts? Lord, we want to just be humble before You. Lord, we acknowledge that it's to You that we come. Lord, it's to You that we do business, as it tells us in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, that we are naked, we are flayed, we are laid open and bare before Him with whom we have to do. Lord, and we just want to be open to You. Lord, we open our hearts to You, our minds to You. Lord, let there be no hidden areas in our lives that we don't let You in. Lord, no doors that have been closed, Lord, that we've sealed up against You, Lord, but our lives would just be open to You, Lord, this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and have Your way in our midst, we pray, as we consider breaking bread together, Lord, of remembering what You've done for us. Lord, I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for this opportunity now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to look primarily at two scriptures. They're the familiar ones for us for communion. So if you open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I just want us to note, and I want to just talk about communion. And we've heard the communion sermons more than any other sermon in the Bible. I imagine every time we break bread, there's a sermon. And so we've probably heard lessons and things on communion more than any other message. But let's read in 1 Corinthians 11, then we'll go to chapter 10. Verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which also I am delivering unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, as he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. So then let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And again, there's lots of things in there, aren't there? There's lots of phrases in there, rich phrases, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning one another that were in the Lord's body, not respecting one another who are in the Lord's body. There is to be a mutual respect one to another and an admiration and a love to one another, lest I do not discern the Lord's body, that which he gave his life for. His bride is the most precious thing to him alive, is the bride of Christ. Do not touch the apple of God's eye. He is jealous over us with his spirit. So it's a great thing. So to discern the Lord's body. We notice, again, these are things we've heard before, but we notice these, kind of the table that he sets for us, is that it was the night that he was betrayed, he did these things. He committed himself to going all the way. He committed himself to dying for us on the night that he was betrayed. And it's hard for us to be betrayed. We don't take it well, but he took it well. And on the night that he was betrayed, he did these things. And the emphasis is on the Lord, and then the emphasis on some brokenness and on pouring out his blood, all these different things in these verses. technically, in the Greek, when it talks about the bread which we break, it really means loaf. And maybe some translations have the word loaf in there because it was one loaf. So it's pictured as a loaf, just as the cup is not pictured as little plastic cups. It was a chalice. It was a cup, and the bread was a loaf, is what it says. And sometimes, so it goes on. "Take and eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." So it's in remembrance of him. And that's repeated to us. Do this as often as you do it. Dropping down in verse 26. And it's interesting because this verse has eternity in it. And just to look at it, verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup." Okay, that's present tense. So as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death. That's past tense. So one is right now. We're going to break bread together, drink the cup. We're doing that right now. And what does that show? What is that an emblem of? It's past. It's his death, that he died for us. God died for us. There's no way that we can grasp the wonderful meaning of that, the sense of that outside of the Spirit's helping us, of what it is. It's so easy to say, yeah, God died for us. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's so easy to say that, but would the Spirit apply it to our life? So it's present tense. We break the bread, we drink the cup, and we're doing it in remembrance of him. And then for how long? Until he comes. Then it moves us to the future. So breaking the bread is like an eternal thing. It's something that we're doing right now, but it's a look backwards. And at the same time, looking backwards, we're looking forwards to him coming. And I think his coming is getting closer. We have no idea when it is, but the world is certainly getting to be a weird place, a scary place, an antichrist place. past week, it was a week ago, the... Do I dare say The Pope gave a proclamation to the world inviting all men and women of all faith to all join together in one meeting, to all, because in the end, it's all about love. And as long as I'm a Buddhist and I'm a loving Buddhist, I'm one with the loving Hindu who is loving, whether he's worshiping rats or snakes or cattle. And I'm one with the Islam, with the Muslim, because he's a loving man, if he's a loving man, and he's loving Allah. So it doesn't matter who you love. We're all together in this. We're all one in this. As long as we're loving, we're all worshiping the same God together. And it's the rally of this year for him. It was one of his New Year's rallies, is that we're all one now, whether Islamic or Jewish or Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslim. It doesn't matter. We're all one. Come on, let's all worship together. And that was his invocation. We can all worship together. One world religion. Worshiping God, worshiping love, even though to one it might be Buddha, to another one it might be Jesus, to another one it might be whoever. But it's, as long as we're doing it in love, it's all the same God. It's kind of like AA, where everyone has a higher power. It doesn't matter who it is, as long as it's a higher power. And so this doesn't matter who it is necessarily to you or me, as long as we're loving and worshiping together. Let's just worship in one sense. It doesn't matter what it is. So it's strange, isn't it, that this is a push coming forward. And there's members in the evangelical church that are joining in with this and saying, yeah, that's right. Let's just get along. You know, why can't we all just get along and just love? And it doesn't matter. Yes, there will be, you know, I mean, I've seen the clips of them from different people. Yes, there will be this particular person in heaven who comes from a completely different faith, who doesn't believe in Christ as the Messiah. But yeah, he'll be in heaven because he's a good man and stuff. Men that, if I mentioned their names, you would know them, you know the name. So it's strange that we live in that in this age. It's never been an age like this before because the world has gotten so small. So I believe we're in the end days. You know, so did Paul. So if I'm wrong, I'm in good company. But anyway, so there's just some thoughts about breaking bread together. You know, we do it now. We celebrate that Christ died for me, that he died for you, that he was broken. And then we do it looking back to that, you know, to that brokenness. So we do it looking forward. So it's an eternal thing. And then the other thing I want to share, if you turn back now to chapter 10, and this was more the verse that was on my heart. So we're in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And just, you know, just think about that for a bit. You know, again, we know we're not into transubstantiation where we think something magical actually happens to the elements. That's not what he's saying here. That's not his point. It's that what we remember is that his body was literally broken for us. His blood was literally shed for us. And it's for you individually. You know, it becomes impersonal sometimes when it becomes so large. But so we read on verse 17, for we being many are one bread. And again, insert the word loaf there if we back up. The loaf which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one loaf. Isn't that something? So look around if you want to. We're all putting the same recipe. We're all in the same ingredients and we've all been baked together. Some of us overbaked, some half-baked, you know, but we're all baked together. You know, whether you like it or not, argue with Jesus and you won't win the argument, but go ahead, you know, argue with Jesus. But he said, we're all one loaf and we're to enjoy that. It isn't punishment, you know, though sometimes, man, you know, someone wants to pull their hair out, you know, or something, but it isn't punishment. God puts people into the body as he sees fit, as is right for him, and as what the way he wants to magnify himself. And he puts, you know, people in our midst for purposes. But we are one loaf. And so we're to look at each other and say, okay, I can be a loaf with Todd. I'm not going to loaf with Joe, but I can be a loaf with Joe or aloof. But, you know, this is it. And there's this thing about accepting one another. Because it's interesting, I was going to go into Revelation starting the Church of Philadelphia. There were two churches in the seven that had, they didn't have any censorship on them. It was the Smyrna church, which was kind of headlined with persecution. And then there was this Church of Philadelphia, which, of course, we know means love, brotherly love. They had no censorship among them. Is it because they were a church of love? And love is the crowning jewel of the Spirit of Christ. It is love. And if I fail in love, I don't care how well I know the doctrine. I don't care how well I can explain experiences in Christ, how deep I think I am in Christ. The proof that I am deep with Christ is that I love the brethren. That's the proof, is that I love the brethren. If I'm not loving you, then I'm falling short of what God wants us to do. So this is the great thing, is that we're one loaf. You know, I don't mind being a loaf with you guys, a crumb. I just be a little crumb. And of course, we're crumbs with a bigger loaf, because as he speaks this, he's speaking of the church universal. But with us, we're just here and we're just a loaf together. You know, so as we break the loaf, we're with each other. And there's a great thing. The Spirit loves it when we're accepting of one another. When we just love each other, and there's no criticalness about us. There's not judgmentalism about us. It was just, hey, none of us are perfect. We get that. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm way off from being perfect, you know, but you guys know that, and you want to love me anyway. And and then if you really struggle with me, then you can pray for me. And that's the best thing you can do, is to pray for me. So looking at these verses again, going back into verse 16, the cup of blessing. What do you think of that? Do you think Jesus called it a cup of blessing? Think of that. The cup of blessing. What a term to put on the sacrifice of Christ. When he prayed, well, earlier in the gospel, he said to them, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? And ignorantly, James and John said, oh yeah, sure we can. And he said, well, you will. James, you're going to be beheaded. You're going to be the martyr, and they're going to strike your head off your shoulders, and you're going to bleed, gush out upon the ground. John, you're going to be plucked away in Patmos, and you're going to suffer all kinds of persecutions. Yeah, you're going to drink of the cup that I can drink of. And of course, we get to Matthew 26. Father, if there be any other way that this cup could pass from me, Father, can you remove this cup from me? And then you and I sit here, and it says the cup of blessing. Isn't that something? We ought to really appreciate what he did for us. And we're doing it in picture type this morning. We're accepting the cup. And the cup of blessing, which we bless. Do we bless it? You know, again, I can't bless it unless I'm willing to bless it with all of you. If I can't bless it with you, then I'm not really blessing it. My blessing is upon something that I agree with. Blessing is upon an agreement, a union. And so we come to the word. As we read there, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? That is a compound word, meaning cut the first four letters off, then you have the last part, and it's called union. It's all about union. The word com, C-O-M-M, means with. So whatever we're doing, it's with union. Some translations have partaker, but the literal word in the Greek means union. The cup that we bless, okay, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not union? And this is the key to it. Is it union with his blood? Do I have union with the blood of Christ? Does his blood speak in my heart that I am cleansed from my sin? Do I have union with that blood? Is it his blood, as it were, is it coursing through my veins? His blood, is it cleansing me from all my sin? His blood, have I washed my robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This union with the blood, am I experiencing that they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, or the blood of the Lamb and the word of a testimony, that the blood had cleansed me. There is no thing that Satan can come and convict me of, because it's under the, I've gone to Christ and I've confessed my faults to Him, and I am forgiven, and there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Am I having union with the blood? This morning, is all that I've done, is it under the blood? Has it been cleansed in the blood? Am I trusting the blood of Christ for my righteousness and not anything else that I have done? Communion, with union. I'm having the cup of blessing. I'm in union with it. I'm having fellowship with the cup. And I have had fellowship with the cup. And daily I have fellowship with the cup. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, daily we have fellowship one with another. And this cup cleanses us, even so, from all unrighteousness. Am I fellowshipping with the cup? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have fellowship with the cup. But that's only outward, and it is meaningless unless I've had fellowship, unless I've had union with the cup prior to taking it. Okay? So the cup of blessing, wow, he calls it a cup of blessing, that we also bless, is it not the communion, unity with the blood of Christ? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then as we read on, that loaf which we break, is it not communion? Is it not union with the body of Christ? Oh, am I having union with you? And you with me? Am I discerning the Lord's body correctly? Am I having union with each other? Are we having union with one another? And the richness of that, of course, is that we're having union first with Him. Where Jesus goes, I'm going to go. Where Jesus is going, you want to go. What He has done, we want to do. We want to walk the way He walked. We want to be like Him. And that's what the Spirit has come to make us alive, that we might be with like Him and have union with His body. Union with His body. So we have union with His blood. And again, so that the loaf which we break, is it not the communion or the union of the body of Christ? What a privilege to be just being conformed to the image of Christ. Is Christ changing me? Am I having union with that? You know, His body was broken for me. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says that in His body He bore my sins on the tree. In His body. Am I having union with that? Am I in union with that? Again, so it all goes back to to that wonderful thing. And then reading again verse 17, for we being many, you know, all of us different needs, different weaknesses, different failings. It talks about the Church of Philadelphia. If I asked people what they felt, who they felt was the greatest of the seven churches in Revelation, I think people who have read them would say it's Philadelphia. It is Philadelphia. It is the Church of Love. It is the one. And I'd say, I agree with you. But you know what Jesus said about them? They have a little strength. Just a little strength. That's all we need. If it's in Him. Just a little strength in Him. So, for we being many are one bread, one body, for we are partakers of that one loaf. So that's the criteria of coming and taking communion, is that I'm in union with His blood. If I haven't been in union in His blood, get in it now. Repent and find Christ now. You know, if I say that I am a Christian, then I should have been having union in that blood. I want to have union with the blood of Christ. All that it means, you know, and how can I be in the blood of Christ? How can I be in the body of Christ, having union with His body, and have aught against somebody or let sin dwell in my life? How can I do that if I'm saying I want to be in union with His body? We can't do it. You know, it's a contradiction, isn't it? And to Lord, help us to love one another. And I really believe that as churches learn to love one another, the Holy Spirit will be manifested more and more and more and more, because this is what grieves the Spirit, is this, you know, division. Paul comes to Corinthians that this is written from. Don't you know? He's responding to letters of people complaining about each other. That's what the epistle's about, you know, and so he's responding to those things. So anyway, let's prepare to take of the loaf and take of the cup, remembering again of the union that we have together. And again, I want to challenge us this morning that if you need prayer, if you want prayer for something, you know, come up and ask for prayer. Come to me or come to somebody and ask for prayer this morning. Because, you know, this is all about Christ ministering to us. It's not about me or Mike or Ted or whoever. It's about Christ ministering to us. And He has so much for us. He is so for us. And it's like the verse that I read earlier about when the Lord was in the camp, the ark came in, they shouted. And God's in the camp. You know, He's here and He's got so much for us. And, you know, if somebody wants prayer if they're discouraged or whatever, we're going to break bread together, have union in the blood. Let's bless this cup of blessing. We bless it that Jesus went to the cross for us. Do you bless Him for that? Do we bless Him for dying for us, for being crucified for us? Imagine becoming sin for us. I don't know if you've ever, I know you have. You've been someplace and you've heard someone take the Lord's name in vain and you're kind of like, ooh, you cringe. You know, or you see something that you didn't want to see and you kind of cringe. You know, think of what Jesus, when He took all that filth on Himself, the spotless Lamb of God, He took all that on Himself. I bless Him for that. Lord, You took all my filth. You took all these, you know, on Yourself. So we bless Him. The cup of blessing, it's a blessing to us that we bless. Let's bless it. And we bless it by accepting it. We bless it by blessing one another, by loving one another. The bread, the loaf that we break, is it not, you know, communion, union with the body of Christ? Yes, we're for one another. We got to get better at it, but hey, let's just love each other. Let love be our greatest weakness. You know, if anything, let's fail. Let's err on the side of love.